Today's school shooting comes as Washington voters are considering two competing gun measures. As awful as it is, events like the Marysville Pilchuck shooting are not likely to sway people from one side of the gun control measure to another, according to Robert Spitzer. Spitzer is a political science professor at the State University of New York. He's written four books on gun policy. Spitzer says our attitudes about gun ownership are shaped by larger cultural values.
Whether it's the value of self-reliance, or it's the value of hearkening back to America's revolutionary period and its early development, or it's the value of patriotism or the value of self-defense. It's those set of beliefs that define what are often called the gun culture in America. And it is those beliefs strongly held by many gun owners that form the basis for this emotional attachment to guns, which explains why it is so controversial. I mean, you don't see demonstrations on behalf of people who own refrigerators, let's say.
No.
But you do see demonstrations on behalf of people who own guns. And it's not because the commodity itself is so intrinsically significant. It's because of the values that we attach to them.
So when we talk about guns as a symbol of value, what role does that play in American politics right now?
Well, it plays a very important role, and the reason why is because for some gun owners, that issue is extremely important to them. They are willing to not only vote based on the gun issue, but contribute money, attend a meeting, write a letter, send an email, and do other sorts of things that make them highly vocal and visible. And there's an important rule of thumb in American politics, which is that a small but highly motivated minority can often win the day in politics over a large but fairly apathetic majority.
I'm talking with gun policy expert Robert Spitzer. When did this issue of guns or regulating guns become a hot topic in American politics?
Well, interestingly enough, in most of American history, gun regulations were not only ubiquitous, they were everywhere, they were in many respects more strict than they are today. And they were not controversial at all in the way they are today. What happened was that in the 20th century, there was a move to enact a comprehensive national gun laws. And that was a matter of debate, but it was not controversial in the way gun laws are today. If you jump ahead then to the 1960s, you see a new wave of efforts to enact stricter gun laws after political assassinations and after urban disorder, rioting. And you see a new gun law enacted in 1968. And then in the late 1970s and 80s, the gun issue becomes more politicized, especially with the rise of the political activities of the National Rifle Association. We enter the 1980s during the Reagan era, and we see national gun laws that actually weakened some national regulations, and the gun debate has simply escalated and become even hotter ever since then.
So to go back to that first gun control law, if that's the way we want to refer to it, in the 1930s, and then the second in the 60s after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, was there a significant outpouring of people wanting to protect their right to own a gun?
There were always constituencies on behalf of gun owners, but not until really the 1960s did anybody even suggest that the Second Amendment protected a personal right to own guns, because throughout our history, not only from the people who wrote the Second Amendment, but also from court interpretations, the Second Amendment was understood to refer to the right of citizens to have firearms in connection with their service in a government-organized and regulated militia. But starting in the 60s and then escalating since the 1960s, you had a more and more concerted effort to argue that the Second Amendment was really about something else. It was really about personal protection for average citizens. And that argument finally is accepted in 2008 with the Supreme Court's very famous and also controversial ruling in the Heller case, where the court said for the first time in American history that the Second Amendment now protected a personal right of citizens to have a handgun for personal self-protection in the home.
I'm talking with Robert Spitzer. He's written several books on gun policy, including The Politics of Gun Control. And I'm curious about that self-defense. The 2008 ruling obviously came out of legal challenges that preceded the high court's ruling. When did the reasons for owning a gun evolve from hunting, sporting reasons to self-defense? Was there a particular point in time?
Well, it was a gradual evolution. The most frequent reason that people said that they owned guns was for hunting, sporting sorts of purposes. And that has been true, as reflected in public opinion polls, really just until the last couple of years, when for the first time more Americans say that they own guns for self-protection. And that's happened for a couple of reasons. One reason is because hunting and sporting activities have been gradually declining for about the last 50 years or so. And the other reason is because the gun community, the gun lobby, gun manufacturers have relentlessly sought to market firearms for self-defense purposes. And so we've arrived at a situation now where, for the first time, slightly more people say they own firearms for self-protection than they do for hunting or sporting, even though, ironically, America is a safer place than ever nationwide because crime rates have been declining consistently for about the last 20 years.
We started out this conversation talking about values and guns and your stand on guns being dependent on what your value is. But it seems in the West Coast in particular, there are contradictory values. Washington State, for example, is a blue state, vote Democrat usually. But we are still part of the West. Guns are still important to people on all sides of the political spectrum. So where does that put our gun culture?
Well, in many respects, it's a very typical American response. You're absolutely right, of course, about the values of citizens of Washington State and some of the other Pacific states. I would compare them pretty similarly to the state of Vermont, though. It's also politically quite liberal, but it also has a very strong gun ownership tradition. And it's really the unity of two seemingly opposing values. One is traditional liberalism and everything that means, but it also unites with a certain streak of libertarianism or individualism, where people also want to have the feeling that they control their own lives, that they're responsible for their own families and for their own conduct, and that Americans should have a certain degree of individual freedom that would allow them to do things like, you know, purchase guns, like use them for lawful self-defense, for hunting and sporting, things like that. And in many ways, that takes you right to the two competing ballot initiatives in Washington State, Initiative 594 and Initiative 591.
Robert Spitzer is a political science professor at the State University of New York. He studies and writes about gun policy and American gun culture. This interview was recorded prior to this morning's shooting at Marysville-Pilchuck High School. Our record producers have been talking to Seattle residents about the gun initiatives on the ballot. Producer Posey Gruner spoke to Augustine Golafale of White Center. He wants to hear a different conversation about gun ownership.
Time and time again, for as long as I can remember, every time a gun initiative comes up, both on a national level, that means on a federal level, as well as on a local level, you always hear the same argument. That is, it's about people rights. Well, everybody has rights. Certain rights are basically curtailed when it affects public good because it affects the lives of other people. You have to be able to balance your right against the good of the public. And that's where my problem is with those who advocate that position. They're just thinking that gun rights is one and above all rights in the entire Constitution. There are other aspects of the Constitution that must be protected.
Augustine Golafale spoke to us from a beach in White Center. If you're just joining us, there was a shooting at Marysville-Pilchuck High School this morning in Snohomish County. There are reports of four people with gunshot wound injuries. The shooter has been killed. We're going to bring you more as this story develops. I'm Marcy Silman, and you're with The Record from KUOW.